Thanks. So as John said, my name is Jeff Terrace. I'm going to talk about object storage on Crack. And Crack is a system that we built that provides strong consistency and high throughput. So, and this is joint work with my advisor, Mike Friedman. I want to start off by talking about what I'd like to call the data storage revolution. And what I mean by this is that traditionally, to store information, people have used relational databases. And what's nice about relational databases is that they provide a very structured way to organize your information. They make it so you can do very complex queries and views in order to organize your information in complex ways. So there's been a recent change where a lot of companies have transitioned to object storage systems. And what object storage systems are is that they're very simple put and get interface. You have an identifier that identifies a value, and you can query your system and get the value associated with that identifier. So some examples are Amazon's Dynamo, Yahoo's Peanuts, and others that are listed here. And the reason that they do this are for a few things. Speed, scalability, availability, and throughput. These are the main properties that are the focus of very interactive applications, such as websites. And also, they don't really need the complexity involved with relational databases. Many very interactive websites could count the number of complex joins they do on one hand. It's just not necessary. So the way that they get away with this increased speed and scalability and availability and throughput is that they provide a type of consistency called eventual consistency. And what I mean by this is that when you're doing replication, you have multiple replicas storing an object. And when a write request comes in, you typically have a manager that handles how to replicate this update. So what the manager does is just send the update to all of its replicas. But what can happen is that one update could be lost, as shown here. Now, if this happens, if a read request comes in, if it goes to one replica, it might get version A. If it goes to another replica, it might get version B. So what eventual consistency provides is that writes are ordered after they're committed, but reads can be out of order or stale. So this is nice because it makes it so it's easy to scale object storage systems and to provide high throughput. But at the same time, it's very difficult for applications to program for this type of model. As a programmer, it's difficult when you do two successive reads. It could actually go backwards in time. So the traditional way to solve this type of consistency, to provide a stronger solution to consistency, is to, when an update comes into the manager, instead of just sending them out at once, you could do some sort of agreement protocol. So I'll illustrate here two-phase commit. You could use any type of agreement protocol, but for simplicity, I'll just demonstrate two-phase commit. What the manager does is send out a prepare message, tells all the replicas to prepare the update. The replicas will all vote yes. For simplicity, we'll just say that they all vote yes for now. And the manager says to commit, and the replicas acknowledge the commit. So what this provides is that reads and writes are strictly ordered in the system. It's very easy to program on this model because you know when your updates commit, that means that they commit, you'll always get the latest version. But these are expensive to implement. They don't necessarily scale well. You might have to sacrifice availability if you use these agreement protocols. So what we wanted to do, the motivation for our work, our goal here, is to provide, to keep the easy programming model, to have a strong consistency model in our system, but to make it easy to scale and have high throughput. So these are our goals. So when designing our work, we used some very interesting previous work called chain replication. This is by Van Rennes and Schneider. And what they do in chain replication is rather than having this manager replica model, they rearrange their replicas into a chain. And they rename the first replica in the chain to the head and the last one to the tail. Now, what happens here when a write request comes in, the head propagates the write down the chain serially until it reaches the tail. Once it reaches the tail, it's considered committed. And the tail sends an acknowledgement backwards through the chain until the head receives it and then can respond to the write request. Read requests all go to the tail, and this has the effect of ordering reads and writes. So what happens here is that if multiple writes and reads all come in at once, the tail can actually decide what to do with these. It can decide the ordering and respond to them, and this provides the strong consistency guarantee that we wanted. So what chain replication does is it provides the strong consistency guarantee that we want. It's a very simple way to do replication. And it increases the write throughput over traditional agreement protocols because writes can be pipelined down the chain. But the problem here is that you might have noticed there can be low read throughput. And the reason for this is that all reads have to go to the tail. So if you increase the size of the chain, you don't get any increased read throughput. So what we wanted to do with this work is figure out, could we increase the throughput? And we're going to use some insight, an assumption here, that most applications are read-heavy. We get this from industry that sometimes they see even up to 100-to-1 read-to-write ratio in their object storage systems. So I'll introduce Crack. And what we do in Crack is we borrow the chain replication model, but we say that there are two states per object. They're clean and dirty. So what I mean by clean is that all replicas in the system are storing the same version number. You see here they're all storing version 1. And if that's the case, if the object is clean, that means that we can read anywhere, because we get this guarantee that they're all storing the same version number. So the question is, what happens when a write request comes in? What the head will do is take the new update, we'll call it version 2 here, it'll add it to its data store, and it'll mark itself as dirty. So here the purplish color means that it's dirty. And what the head will do next is propagate it down to the next replica. The next replica will add version 2 to its data store, mark itself dirty, and continue the propagation. So the question becomes here now, what happens when we get a read request? So if a read comes into a clean replica, we do like we did before. The replica can just respond with version number 1 right away because it knows that it's clean. If a read request comes into a dirty replica, it's a little more complicated. What it has to do is contact the tail to get the latest version number. Remember that the tail is what, once an update reaches the tail, it's considered committed, so it actually enforces the ordering. So the replica goes and contacts the tail, says, what is the latest version number? The tail responds with the number 1 in this case, and the replica looks up version number 1 in its data store and responds with the value v1. So this has the property that no matter where we read in the chain right now, we're still going to get version 1. So as the protocol continues, the replica continues the propagation until it reaches the tail. The tail, once it receives an update, switches version 1 to version 2 in its data store, which has the effect of committing. And so if a dirty replica gets a read request now, when it contacts the tail to get the version number, it's going to get version 2. So the replica now can notice that version 2 is the latest version that it has in its object store. And this means that because the tail has received version 2, that means it's committed, and it can remove version 1 from its data store. And then it can mark itself as clean. So the replica would then respond with version 2. So with this, we could have a lazy model here where we mark replicas clean once we get read requests, but as an optimization, we have the tail send acknowledgments backwards through the chain, which has the effect of marking them clean somewhat earlier. And once the head receives an acknowledgment, it can respond to a write request. Now, some optimizations for sending acknowledgments. Rather than the tail having to send it backwards through the tail serially, if the chain was actually in a multicast group, we could have the tail send the acknowledgment to the multicast group at once, because all the replicas could then be marked clean faster. Now, that's just a small optimization, but more importantly, when write requests come in, the head could actually multicast the data part of the write request. So what this allows us to do is that if a write request is large, say 1 megabyte, rather than serially propagating it down the chain, which could take a long time for large amounts of data, we can actually have the head send this new version, v3, to all the replicas, and the replicas add them to their data store with a marker that says that they're temporary. And then the head just sends a small metadata message down the chain, which the replicas, upon receiving, will look for version 3 and take away the temporary marker and mark themselves as dirty. And notice that we don't need a reliable multicast layer, because if the replica doesn't receive an update, it could just fetch it from its predecessor. So what Crack provides, we still have the strong consistency from chain replication and the simple replication and the increased write throughput. But what we add, our additional contributions, is that we allow read throughput to scale for read mostly workloads. So if the chain is mostly clean, you're going to get an increased throughput. It's going to scale linearly with the chain length. And that's why we call our system chain replication with apportion queries. We can also support an eventual consistency model. So you can imagine that for some applications where strong consistency is not necessary, rather than having the extra delay involved when a replica is dirty, could just return the latest version. So we've been talking so far about a data storage system within a data center. That's most data storage systems are considered just on a local area network. This means that nodes are well connected and have low latency. But this is not always the case in large applications. A lot of large applications are actually geo-replicated. So here's an example of the data centers that Google has within the United States. And companies usually do this for two reasons. One is to provide low latency to their customers. They want requests to be answered quickly from a local data center, and also for fault tolerance. If a data center goes down, you want your service to still be alive. So in Crack, what we do is, instead of just having a chain in one data center, you can actually extend this chain to go across multiple data centers. And so notice here that the links that I've highlighted in red are the only links that go across data centers. So you can imagine if you were using a traditional agreement protocol where the head or the manager would have to send updates out to all of the replicas at once, what we can do in our system, rather than having multiple wide area network transfers, we only have to have one wide area transfer per data center. So only these red links here traverse the wide area network. And what's nice here about is that in regular chain replication, if a client was in data center 1 or data center 2, they would have to contact the tail that's in data center 3 in order to get the latest version, whereas in Crack, they can actually contact a local replica. And most of the time, this local replica will be clean. It could be the case that the replica is dirty here, and in that case, it does have to contact the tail. But remember two things. One, the request that it sends to the tail is just a small metadata message. So the tail only responds with a version number. It doesn't have to do a wide area large transfer. But in the other case, since we're considering read mostly workloads, meaning that most of the time replicas will be clean, this doesn't happen very often. So now that we're talking about wide area network, we have a lot of questions here. So the question is, how do we configure these chains? It could be the case that objects are very popular or they're very scarce. So what we allow in Crack is we allow you to specify the chain size. You can say you want a replication factor of 10 or a replication factor of 3, and based on your object popularity, you can choose how to do your replication. It could also be the case that some objects are only relevant to a subset of data centers. You might only have an object accessed within the United States, and you might want to only store it on your U.S. data centers. So what you can do is you can list the list of data centers that you want to store on. It might also be the case you have data center diversity, meaning that your data center in Virginia might be very large, while your data center in China might be very small. So we actually allow you to specify the chain size per data center. So this allows you to have a larger replication factor in one data center and a smaller in another. And it could also be the case that you have write locality, meaning that updates always come to one data center and never come to another. So what we allow you to do is specify a master data center. And what I mean by that is if you have multiple data centers here, data centers 1 through 3, and data center 1's internet connection goes down. And the effect of this is that the link between data center 1 and data center 2 go down. What normally happens in our system is that data center 2 takes over. The first replica in data center 2 becomes the head of the chain, which allows, because data center 2 and data center 3 are the majority, allows writes to continue in the system. But it could be the case that you have a single writer to this object that's in data center 1, and you want the writes to this object to still be committed if this link goes down. So if this link goes down, what we actually want to do is have data center 2 and data center 3 turn off and have the last replica in data center 1 become the tail. And we allow you to do this by specifying one data center as the master data center, allowing writes to continue to commit even if its internet connection goes down. So that's it for the Crack design. I'll talk a little bit about our implementation. It's about 3,000 lines of C++. We use the tame extensions to the SFS I/O libraries, and we use SunRPC for network operations. And we use Yahoo Zookeeper for coordination. What Yahoo Zookeeper service is a distributed coordination service. You can think of this as similar to Paxos Agreement Protocol or Consensus Protocol. And so what we use Zookeeper for is storing the chain metadata. We store the information like the list of data centers and the chain sizes. And we also use it for node membership. Zookeeper will notify us if a node goes down or if a node membership changes. So what we do here is if we have multiple data centers here, we have at least one Zookeeper instance within each data center, but you'd have multiple for reliability. And the Crack nodes only subscribe to their local Zookeeper instance, and Zookeeper does the wide area traffic itself. So Zookeeper takes care of doing wide area notifications of node failures. So for our evaluation, we wanted to ask a few questions. One was, does Crack actually scale versus chain replication, like we think it will? Another question is, how does the write rate impact performance? So we've been talking about read mostly workloads, but what happens when the write rate does increase? We also want to know how Crack recovers from failures. And we want to know how the wide area network affects crack. So what we did for our test is we used the Emulab network emulation testbed. Emulab is a controlled environment where you can have your experiments run on a local data center, as opposed to Planet Lab, where it can be a chaotic environment. We wanted controlled experiments. All the experiments that I'll show you are done in memory. So we don't do disk access here. And the points are median values, and the error bar is 99th percentile. So the first graph I want to show you is read throughput as writes increase. And so on the x-axis here, we have writes per second. On the y-axis, we have reads per second, which is the read throughput. This is for a 5-kilobyte key. And so what you'll notice here is that at the left side of the graph, where there's no writes in the system, meaning that the chain is always clean, chain replication, which gets about 2,500 reads per second, crack of the same size of 3 replicas gets a 3 times increase in read throughput. And crack of size 7 gets a 7 times increase in read throughput. So this is exactly what we expect when the chain is always clean. The reason for this is that, again, chain replication can only read from one node, while crack of size 3 can read from 3, and crack of size 7 can read from 7. Now, as the write rate increases, the throughput starts to go down. But as we get to the end of the graph, notice that as it starts to flatten out, the read throughput still doesn't go down to the chain replication level. And the reason for this is that in crack, the tail doesn't have to serve the actual data. It only has to serve a small version request. So the tail can actually serve more requests because it doesn't have to serve large amounts of 5-kilobyte keys. It only has to serve very small messages. So in crack, the intermediate nodes actually do the data serving. Now, next, we wanted to look at failure recovery. So in this test, on the x-axis, we have time. On the y-axis, we have read throughput. This is for a 500-byte key, so you'll notice that the y-axis is about about 10 times increased. So read throughput normally for chain sizes of 3, 5, and 7 are just like before. But at about 10 seconds in, what we did is we killed one of the replicas in the chain. And you'll notice that during the period when a node is down, the read throughput goes down by about a factor of 1 replica's throughput. And the reason that it goes down for about 5 seconds is this is the time between when a node actually fails and when Zookeeper detects it has failed and notifies the rest of the chain that that node has actually failed. So after about 5 seconds, when the crack nodes receive their notification, a new replica comes in and takes over. And after that, the read throughput goes back up to what it was before. Now, this previous graph was read throughput, but we might also want to look at latency. So this here is the read latency during the failure. So this is the same test as the previous slide, but we're looking at read latency. And so we notice here that before the failure, the median is about 0.75 milliseconds. And during the failure, the 99th percentile goes up to about double that. And the reason for this is that when a client is requesting an object, it could sometimes go to the failed node. And if it does, it has to retry. And when it retries, it gets a correct node, and that makes the latency about double. So this is actually pretty good. Write latency, though, can actually go up. So when we look at write latency, what happens here is that during the failure, the write latency can go up to about 5 seconds. And the reason for this is that during the failure, or during the period between when a node fails and when it's detected as failed, writes to the object can't be committed. And the reason for this is that they can't propagate fully down the chain because there's a node that's failed in between. So what we see is right at the beginning of the failure, when a write is issued, it takes about 5 seconds for it to be committed until the chain is restored. And lastly, we wanted to look at geo-replicated read latency. So what we did here is we looked at, we increased the write rate again. On the x-axis is writes per second. On the y-axis is the mean latency. This here is mean and standard deviation. And at the beginning of the graph, when the chain is clean, we're looking at chain replication versus crack. And what we did here is we had a client requesting an object in a data center separated from the tail by an 80 millisecond round trip time. So what we see for chain replication, it takes about 80 milliseconds to get the response, whereas for crack, it takes about 0 milliseconds because it can get it from a local replica. As we increase the write rate, the chain has a higher probability of being dirty. So we see that the crack starts to increase and go towards chain replication. But notice that even at the when it flattens out, when the chain is always dirty, crack still does a little bit better, and that's only because This is a 5 kilobyte key, so transferring 5 kilobytes over the wide area for chain replication takes longer than transferring a small metadata message in CRAC. So far, in traditional object storage systems, we only talk about put and get, but we do support some additional things. So if put and get are not enough for your application, we do support a few atomic operations. We support test and set, append, increment. And these are pretty trivial to implement in CRAC. And the reason for this is that the head of the chain alone can evaluate the query. So the head can figure out what the latest version is, do a test and set, and then propagate it down the chain. You could also imagine multiple object transactions. So for example, if you wanted to test one object and set another, if multiple objects are on the same chain, then this is also easy for us to do because the head, again, can be is the only replica that has to be involved in this transaction. And it can just propagate it down the chain. So the tricky case comes when we have objects across multiple chains. If you have a test and set for an object on one chain and set on another, then you could use an agreement protocol between the heads of the chains. What's nice here is that only the heads have to participate in the agreement protocol, but it would degrade performance because the heads would have to do some locking. So this would have to be used carefully by applications. So that's it. So to summarize, CRAC's contributions challenge the trade-off of consistency and throughput. And we do this by providing the strong consistency guarantees of chain replication, but allowing throughput to scale linearly for read-mostly workloads. We can support wide area deployment of chains naturally, and we have some atomic operations and transactions. That's it. I want to thank you for listening, and I'll take questions.
Hello. Hi. So this is pretty cool stuff. So I got a question about the results that you showed for the read operations that complete when you have a failure in the replica chain.
Yep.
And so what you showed is that the replica comes out, and then you see the number of read operations that successfully complete go down for a bit, and they come back up again.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, how is it that they come back to the same level if presumably you have one less replica in the chain? I mean, are you bringing something back up and then copying all the state over from the failed replica? And if so, how long does that take?
We are actually bringing a new replica into the chain. So it makes the throughput go back up. And so you can see in the graph, there is a small, let me bring it up. There is actually a small period when the throughput goes back up. And this is when it has to transfer the new the object to the new replica. So it, but these are all in memory, and we're only talking about one object here. So it takes a short amount of time to transfer that state. Now, alternatively, if we, you'd imagine in a real application, you'd have lots of objects,
right,
and lots of state. When a new replica joins, it would have to catch up before actually joining the chain.
Okay, makes sense.
So more of a comment than a question. The implementation of appends in the Hadoop distributed file system essentially needs exactly something like this. So please consider contributing this to that work.
Okay, thanks.
So in the case of a data center getting partitioned, how would you make sure that writes only occur in one of the data centers? You mentioned the master data center concept. So does that have to be statically defined for each piece of data, which one the master data center is going to be?
So writes only occurring in one data center is really just an optimization. So it could be that you could still have writes from other places. It's just that if the data center, if a write from data center 2 can't reach data center 1, then it wouldn't be able to write to the chain. So I'm not sure I understand your question fully, but.
So let's say you have data center DC1 and DC2, and you have replicas of the same data both in DC1 and DC2, and DC1 and DC2 are partitioned, and you have a write which originates in DC1, and you have a separate write which originates in DC2. How would you handle that case?
So in the case when there is no master data center?
Yes, or if there is a master data center, does that have to be statically defined, and if so, there are obvious implications for that static definition.
Yeah, so it does have to be statically defined. We don't support, if there are partitions and there's multiple, so we use majority. So if there's only two data centers, neither data center would have the majority if there is no master data center. If there is a master data center, then the one that's the master can commit writes, while the one that's not the master would become read-only or turn off.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have a question also, which is, so I would say that it feels to me like one of the contributions of this work is to show that this single substrate of chain replication can also have multiple properties simultaneously, can not only have high write throughput, it can also have high read throughput. And looking at some of the things that were done in, say, the scheme that you compared against initially, where a single primary multicast out all the write operations, that seemed to make a different trade-off of having lower latency but lower write throughput. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on whether it's possible to have a single substrate that scales across that wider range, where it not only can have the, well, as the original chain replication did, the high write throughput, as your work does, the high read throughput, but in the original scheme that you contrasted with, that lower latency on writes.
So that's definitely a problem in our system with write latency. And so the multicast does help a little bit, but we still have to wait for it to propagate across multiple data centers, which could take a long time. I don't have a good answer for you. We're still working on how to reduce latency.
I have another question,
okay,
which is a lot of storage systems have things that aren't in memory. How do you feel your system would change when many of the operations didn't occur only in memory?
So I think our implementation would become more complex, but I think the protocol itself would pretty much stay the same. I think it becomes trickier when we add new replicas to the system, when we do failure recovery. You have to deal with a slow disk and with lots of a large amount of data. So our current implementation is just in memory, and we haven't done that yet, but we plan to do that soon.
If there are no other questions, let's thank the speaker again.